few days ago, I was driving by a military cemetery and noticed the beautiful landscaping and immaculate rows of marble headstones. I was struck by the thought that this grooming was not done for the benefit of the dead. It was done to comfort those left behind. It is up to those that remember the dead to honor them and tell their stories. In our final story of the show, Hannah Krakauer travels to San Francisco to meet with Emily Prince, an up-and-coming artist who is telling the story of the U.S. soldiers lost in Iraq and Afghanistan by painting their portraits, all 4,438 and counting.
So this is Corey Spates from LaGrange, Georgia, and he died on February 10th, 2008, very recently. So there's this pencil drawing of him, and then there's text below his portrait. So this one says, Spates, who attended Troop High School, had left for his second deployment in November. He and his wife celebrated their first anniversary last week.
Emily Prince works in a small studio in San Francisco. Her studio walls are filled with artwork from all different periods in her career. An oil painting from college of small colored diamonds radiating in all directions, large illustrations of bright blue flowers and leaves, and a scrappy collage of a horse and a brown paper bag above her work table. But stacked unassumingly in the far corner on the floor are a handful of archival boxes. Inside these boxes are the most recent part of her current project, a project which has brought her attention from all over the world. The project to draw individual portraits of every single American soldier killed in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars.
How many portraits have you drawn to date?
So I have 3,892 from the Iraq War and 546 from the war in Afghanistan.
Emily grew up in a small town,
which is not really a town, to be honest,
called Gold's Run, up in the Sierra Nevada mountains. Driving by on the freeway, you'd hardly know that anyone lived there. Emily lived there with her family, off a dirt road leading deep into the woods.
We had snow in the winter, and we had lots of wild animals, like deer and bears were regular visitors on our property. And it was great. I loved growing up there. I have fantasies of trying to work out a way to move back there if I ever could.
Emily started drawing at a very young age. First, it was simple, filling in coloring books of Pinocchio in kindergarten. By high school, Emily had set out to make her artwork as photorealistic as possible. She was determined to perfect the art of making something look real. The first time she did it,
I was a freshman in high school, and it was just almost randomly a photo of Keith Richards from a Rolling Stones magazine, and I didn't even know who he was, and I'm sure I would not have recognized Rolling Stones music if somebody had played it for me, but he had feathers in his hat and like some kind of silk blouse and a velvet jacket, so there were all these different textures, and his face had about a million wrinkles in it, so there it was like a really exciting and varied thing to draw.
Growing up in such a rural environment, it was a bit of a shock when she decided to move to San Francisco after college. She felt lost and overwhelmed. She'd never lived in a city before, and it was so easy to feel like a stranger, even in her own home. She wanted to get to know this place that was so new to her, so she set out to do that, through drawing.
The first project I did, I don't think I consciously set out to do it for that reason, but anyway, I did all these catalogs of what was in this apartment that I had moved into to get to know my new home. So I would take all of these different objects in the house and kind of organize them together.
Like what kinds of objects?
Yeah, like on one drawing there's all the knives, or on another drawing there's all the chairs or all the lamps or Japanese record covers. Or two-dimensional birds, or three-dimensional birds, or pictures of horses, things like that. But I kind of lost my steam on the catalog drawings at my house, just because at first they were very fulfilling to me to do, and a joy, but at a certain point they felt too self-reflective, and I just wanted to do something that was less about me and more about something else. And I intended, originally, I thought I'd make 100 drawings just for a nice round metric-y number, but then I did 52 in the end, and then my energy at that point, I felt like needed to be put elsewhere, so then I stopped. I had been doing those catalog drawings, which were like making a portrait of my home, but rather than one holistic picture, it was looking at the thing and all of its individual parts. So things all one at a time, like one pair of scissors at a time, or dish towel, or whatever. I felt like that way of working made a lot of sense to me, like a kind of map making, but not necessarily in a linear kind of map, but an organizing and ordering of something in some sense, and trying to familiarize myself with something or learn about something, investigate something through drawing.
Emily needed a new project, a new investigation, something that was outside of herself. This tool of map making that she'd discovered, of breaking down an overwhelming whole into digestible little parts, seemed like a great way to approach a problem. As for choosing this new project, Emily says that it just sort of chose itself.
There were a million different things that I could have chosen to make an investigation on. But at the time, and still, something that I felt really drawn towards or was compelling to me was wanting to dig a little deeper under the surface of the statistics that you hear all the time, like 5 soldiers died today and 2 another day and now there are 300 dead total or whatever. But whenever I heard those numbers, I just wondered, well, each of those numbers represents an individual, and I felt like that number was an abstraction, and I felt like that situation that it was describing really deemed an elaboration.
So Emily sat down to explore the statistics of the war. She broke down the number of soldiers killed each day into their individual parts, person by person, one at a time. It's become a piece in progress that she appropriately titles American Servicemen and Women Who Have Died in Iraq and Afghanistan, but not including the wounded, nor the Iraqis, nor the Afghanis. And right from the get-go, Emily knew the commitment she was making. She was in it for the long haul.
Oh no, from the very beginning I felt like I'm going to draw all these people.
Every single one?
That was my plan, yeah. And there are some I haven't drawn portraits of because there are not pictures available of everybody, at least from what I've found in my research. And the people for whom there's no photo available, they still get a card and a place in the archive that I'm making. But there's an empty rectangle on the card instead of a portrait, but their name is there. And when I install it, they get a place on the wall.
When it's fully installed, the piece occupies an entire wall, 25 feet high and the width of the whole room. It takes roughly the shape of the United States, as each portrait is placed at about the location of the person's hometown. As Emily herself says, it's so big that it literally overwhelms your body. But despite its size, the piece is meant to be a collection of individual things. Each one can be examined and taken in on its own.
Who was the first soldier that you drew a portrait of?
Well, I can remember his face completely, but I actually can't remember his name, but I think that he was from Wyoming, and I remember I used this kind of tan-colored paper because he had kind of olive-colored skin and black hair and kind of thick eyebrows, and he looked a lot like this kid I went to high school with named Sean Brown, and I think he was pretty young, like 19 or something.
When you sit down to do a portrait, what's your process?
I have a rhythm that I go through with each one. I get the picture off of the internet and read the article. Then I cut the individual pieces of paper for the portrait to go on. And I measure out all the widths and lengths in the face, like the length and width of the eyes I measure, and the nose and the mouth and the eyebrows, and the length of the face from forehead to chin, and the width from ear to ear. And so I take all these measurements and then put dots on the page, and then freehand I draw out the face, but I have those dots as a reference. I'm not normally that concerned with things being that accurate, but in this case I feel like the important thing is that these individuals are shown. So if they're not shown in the most accurate way I can draw them, then I feel like I've missed the point. And then after I've made the drawing, I add the text. The text comes from articles that I read, and I try to just call out whatever information is there that seems most biographically specific to the individual. So less the stuff of like, he fought in this troop. And less this, I try to take not the things about war. Like, I never put in how they die because I want it to be about their life and what it was that made them the individual that they were. But sometimes they're really, really specific. Like, this person was really into drawing and he could draw like ships really well. Or this person always liked to wear army clothes and always shopped at the army surplus store from the time he was a little kid. Things like this.
How many hours a week do you devote to drawing these portraits?
Well, it always just depends on how many there are to draw, but I always try not to draw more than 10, because I feel like if I draw more than 10 in a day, then it could become too mechanical. So 10 is kind of like the... it's sacred up until then, and then after 10 it would be too many, and I would feel like my eyes would get fatigued to it and I'd stop paying attention.
How long do you spend on each of these 10 portraits?
Each of them take me 30 minutes to draw, which is kind of fast, but they're small. They're like a wallet-sized photograph. They're just drawn with pencil, but if you add up all the ones that have been made, it's thousands of hours altogether.
Do you have any of those portraits here?
I do have some. Do you...
Yeah, can we have a look at them?
Sure.
Emily goes to the corner of her studio and picks up one of the 5 or so archival boxes off the floor. They're relatively small, and inside are a series of postcard-sized portraits, each contained within its own envelope. They're neatly stacked and leaning against one another inside the box.
Okay, here. So I have them in these archival boxes that my mother gave to me, and these are the most recent ones.
How many would you say that we're looking at right now in this box?
Well, I've discovered that I'm really bad at guessing when I've tried. So I would guess 100, but maybe there's more, maybe there's less than that.
Sitting down next to this box full of portraits, I can't help but feel a little overwhelmed. Something about seeing each person on their own page so cleanly stacked and systematically organized makes me feel the weight of it all. I know that each card represents someone who has died, and not just an abstract person, but someone whose face I can see right before me. And beyond that, I know that these are only 100 or so of the thousands of portraits she's drawn. I don't quite know how to handle it all. Emily, though, has a different attitude.
It would not be honest of me to say that when I spend like 8 or 10 hours drawing these in a day, I'm like sad for 8 or 10 hours. And it's not like that, and I don't think it's be humanly possible to sustain that attention or focus and be totally present with it all the time. But I try to take a moment with each portrait and just remind myself of what I'm doing, because it would be very easy to get really mechanical about it. And so I try to take a moment during each drawing and recognize that this is a person who had this great trauma that's rippling out into their family. Some of the faces are just sad to me, and But even more than the faces, actually, the thing that has resulted in the most emotional moments for me in doing this, or the most profound experiences, are reading the articles. Because the face is one thing, but then knowing some background information and some of the stories are just totally tragic.
Like, what kinds of, do you remember any one specific story?
Stories of, like, a family who, this wasn't the first child that they lost. Like, another brother died in a car accident the year before. Things like that. Or people who were there in the war so earnestly, and then they end up dead. I gave a talk recently at Portland State University, and a woman came up to me afterwards, and she, wow, I couldn't believe this. She told me that she had 5 friends who've died in this war. And that was unfathomable to me, to even just have 1 person, but 5, and she was crying. And those moments have then, beyond the reading the newspaper articles, when those moments have happened, they have been the very most moving, because it's a step beyond reading the article, because then it's hearing from a person who is in who had a living relationship with this person whose portrait that I've drawn. Luckily for me, I guess, all of these people have been really supportive, and that, in a way, if I could hope for anyone's approval in the process, like, their blessing is more important to me than the sanction of an art critic, because I feel like, in a way, this information belongs to them more than it does to me, and so I would hope that people are okay with it, and I would imagine there could be a million different responses, and I've just happened to hear from the people who are supportive, and it's meant a lot to me. I have lots of my own doubts that come up and repeat about this project. The biggest and most nagging one to me is that I don't have nationalistic feelings, and I worry that the piece can come across potentially as being one-sided, because it's not showing those Iraqis who've died or Afghans who've died. I can't draw their faces in the same way that I can draw the American faces, because those you can get pictures of Americans really easily, and you cannot of the Iraqis, and so I can't get the pictures, and also I am not an Iraqi, I'm an American, so I have somewhat of a read on our culture, and this feels, I feel like this is ethically okay for me to make these portraits. However, not knowing anything about Iraqi culture, I can't make that kind of assumption. I don't know whether it would be culturally appropriate or not for me to do that. Also, once I did a calculation, just like to think, what if I had all the pictures? And if I lived for 100 years and I worked on this for 8 hours a day, I wouldn't be able to finish. So it's impossible. So faces were out of the picture, and I thought, well, can I show the faces and then have a graph with at least dots to show the Iraqi deaths? But that seemed really wrong to me, too, because that would set up a visual hierarchy where Americans get a whole portrait and an Iraqi gets a dot. And that didn't, it seemed better to not go there than to do something like that that seemed so unequal. So I worry about things like that. But I am at the same time an imperfect human, and I do feel like this is the best that I can do for this project. I I still feel like it's a really small thing. I mean, they're like, any one of these people represents an actual human life, and their family is mourning the loss of that person. And I feel like that's where something profound is, and all I've done is made a drawing of them. So with any kind of perspective, it feels like almost nothing. But sometimes when I was figuring out what to draw in those catalog drawings, like which objects will I draw today, I'd pick up the flashlights and I'd think, well, is this valid enough to draw flashlights? Or I'd worry that maybe it was arbitrary what I'd picked. But these are never that way, never arbitrary.
Do you think you'll keep up with this project for a much more extended period of time?
Sure. I mean, I feel committed to it for as long as the situation keeps going. It would be hard for me to stop. I mean, the longer that I do it, the more attached I've become, and it doesn't even feel like art to me anymore. It feels more like a personal practice, even a spiritual practice that I go back to every week and spend time with. I could not do it now. I couldn't have looked at all these faces so far and then stop. It's just a part of my life now.